This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, I have with me Nalin Jain, the Managing Director of Volvo Cars Malaysia, the Swedish luxury car maker. Nalin, thanks for talking to me. Obviously, the car industry has been in a world of strife right now, not just in Malaysia, but the whole world. April was a notable watershed in terms of poor sales demand. I guess if you can, tell us and give us an update at the seven-month mark, how Volvo Cars are doing in terms of sales and just in terms of how sentiment towards the brand has been.
Yeah, so first of all, very good morning to all the listeners of BFM. And John, thank you so much for having me on this show. I'm quite excited to be speaking with you also. So if you talk about what's happened so far, I think, yes, you're absolutely right, right? The April was very, very difficult month. And also, in fact, it started in March, mid-March, and then it carried on till almost the middle of May because, you know, although the MCO was partially lifted, but in terms of logistics, in terms of the registration office opening up, it took some bit of time. So it was almost like a quarter which was washed away. And then we had the announcement of the sales tax holiday, which was great, of course, but it slowed down sales in end of May and early June. So in that sense, it's been a long period of difficult time, to be very honest with you. And but what we have done, so of course, business is impacted, but we did not let this time go waste. And we have used this very wisely and productively to do a lot of internal work. And then now with this sales tax holiday, I think the customers are coming back. There's been a lot of pent-up demand. So the trend, in fact, that we have been collecting and having a record number of inquiries and record number of order intake since the 15th of July is a very, very positive sign.
Yeah, so I see from MAA numbers that at the fourth month point, you've done about 440 units of cars sold. So if analyzed, it's about 1,200 units of cars, Nalin. That's some way short of the, I think, roughly 1,900 units you did last year. Obviously, you know, that's a big drop. Would this be indicative of the year-on-year drop in sales demand? And I guess more importantly, what are you going to do to mitigate this demand going forward? Mitigate this drop in demand going forward?
Sure. I think so. That's a fair question. And it's an extrapolation that you have done. But like I said, I think the extrapolation is a bit skewed because that includes the slump period, right? And the months that we have now left in terms of the remaining months, we have a lot of productive months ahead of us. So when we look at the productive months ahead of us, plus the benefit of the sales tax holiday that the government is giving us, and the fact that our stock and the car lineup that we have is absolutely fresh. So that helps us in recovering a lot of lost sales. So we've been working very closely with our dealers, talking to them very closely in terms of what their expectations are on the demand. And plus, if I look at the data in terms of the order intake, which I just mentioned to you, then I think we can cover up a lot of ground, probably cover up the entire ground of lost sales that we have done so far. So I'm quite optimistic. So in terms of measures, I think the government measure helps us a lot. But from our own side, I think you know, we've been growing and changing our focus a lot in terms of where the brand is going towards since I've been here. So I think all the new product lineup is now available in Malaysia. And so how do we make sure that the customers are aware? So it's marketing is going to be very, very crucial for us, that the kind of beautiful line that we offer, and customer satisfaction. So these are the two areas that we are significantly focusing upon. And I started getting actually quite positive feedback from our customers. I'm getting emails, positive emails that, thank you, Mr. Jain, that you're focusing on customer satisfaction. Here's an example. I went to the dealership and we got excellent service. So that's something that I'm very sure will help us to also develop the market for Volvo Cars and generate growth.
Yeah, you talk about the sales tax exemption. That's 100% sales tax exemption on locally assembled CKD models and then 50% on fully imported CBU models until the end of the year. So that would have put the car industry in some sort of stable footing. So when I look at your revised price list, Nalin, it's a discount of between 4.5% to as much as, I think, nearly 6%. And in certain cases with the S90, I think you're offering as much as 18 to 19,000 ringgit discount. You talked earlier about inquiries, but how many have been consolidated bookings and, you know, confirmed bookings?
Quite a good number is getting confirmed. So if I look at what is happening now versus what used to happen before in terms of our conversion rates, etc. So if let's say, for example, if I want to sell 100 cars, then we would want to have at least 120 orders just to make sure that we have some buffer if there were cancellations. And for that 120, we would want to have, let's say, 1,200, 1,300 inquiries, roughly 10% conversion. But in the current scenario, we are seeing a conversion rate of much more than 10%, first of all. And on top of that, we are seeing a lot more footfalls than the normal average. So last month was our record month, and we exceeded both our inquiries and orders by almost 30-35% over an average of 2019. So last month, last month was a record month for us. And that has helped us to actually now have a very, very healthy order bank. And actually, I'm very, very happy and glad that right now, in fact, customers are willing to wait because they see the value in our products. For example, the XC90 has a wait list. The XC40 has a wait list. So in fact, people are saying that, yes, you know, they're very happy to own our products. They're waiting for our products. So on some products, we have a little bit of wait list now.
Nalin, do you think what the government announced in terms of those incentives was sufficient? And in a blue sky scenario, what else would you like the government to do? Whether it's an excise tax exemption this time around, or whether it's some kind of a holiday on PHEV vehicles, or even some kind of extension to the loan moratorium period?
I think, I've always been very involved in how the government is working on this industry, automotive industry. I'll not talk about the overall government working, but I'm going to be specific on the automotive industry. And I think that as an outsider, since last year, I used to tell that, you know, I think there's a lot for the Malaysians to be proud about in terms of how government works towards with the industry and how it interacts and talks and is quite supportive. So I must say that what has been done is a fairly good move from a short-term point of view. And I would not put any additional pressure on the government because I also must be a responsible citizen, knowing that it's such a difficult times right now, and every government is also being squeezed to use their resources and funds wisely. So I think what they have done for the industry is quite good, I would say, and I appreciate that. But except that, I think the government is also now developing a good long-term vision. And I think that is where I would feel that the government should continue on its vision towards a sustainability, towards electrification, towards autonomous driving, which needs to become a lot more concrete. Right now, we have heard about the NAP, but translating the NAP into very, very concrete actions is something that the government could do and continue on that journey because, you know, we have invested heavily in Malaysia. And so that journey should continue is what I would say is the most important aspect for a long-term development of the industry.
It's now as good a time as ever, Nalin, because when I look at the MEA forecast for 2020, they reckon it's going to be about 400,000 units of TIV this whole year. That's a 33% contraction. And the first time in 13 years, TIV has not breached the 500,000 unit mark. TIV stands for total industry volume. All hands on deck where the industry is concerned, and mobility is down, people are working from home, people are not shopping as much outside. So the whole, I guess the existential argument in terms of for cars has never been more in question. Do you think the new government in Malaysia has got its handle on the long-term vision for the country? And do you think the NAP in its current guise, whether it's in terms of not even being made public to the Malaysian public, needs to be revised and re-looked at?
So from the MAA forecast point of view, because I'm also a member on the MAA, so the forecast came in actually before the sales tax holiday was announced. I'm sure that if we now go back and talk to all the industries, I'm sure the forecast would get revised upwards. Now, I don't know how brands are being impacted because the sales tax holiday acts differently for different people because of various complications of taxes and CBU versus CKD, et cetera, right? So, but I feel that the volume would definitely go upwards. And then, yes, you're right that the sentiments are quite challenging right now, and the sentiments could go up and down because you never know how this whole situation will evolve. We never know how the virus will evolve. We are seeing already negative trends in some parts of the Western world. So I think that that's a fair question. And to be very honest, I think, and I've been having a lot of discussions on this topic, nobody knows the right answer. And now if I start trying to guess an answer, I think I'm trying to act wise, but I don't think I have an answer on how this Q3 versus Q4 will act. So I'm very clear that I want to maximize my Q3 because I don't know what's going to happen in Q4. But having said that, I think the direction is right. and probably some thing on the liquidity, which I've always been telling the government. So this is one thing that I've been telling, besides the long-term sustainability on the NAP, what I've been telling the government is they need to strengthen the financial services industry. This is one of the, besides all the strength that is there in Malaysia, but I think financial services and the options that the customers have to be able to own a car in different forms is quite weak. So whether it is good leasing companies, whether it is very good retail loans in terms of different options and retail loans, or having the flexibility to actually offer subscription models, which we are offering in different parts of the world, is something that I'm struggling. So that's one thing that the government could do on making it easier for customers to own cars. And then the third part of your question, which is NAP and future. I think, like I said, I think NAP needs a lot more clarity in terms of how the whole thing will evolve step by step. And I think the authorities are working on it. I would not again say that, you know, because the NAP was announced in February and then this whole turmoil started and they've been extremely busy just firefighting. So probably once all these things settle down, maybe they'll come back. But I think this is where my concern is, that they need to come back and say that, you know, how the whole electrification will happen, how the autonomous driving, how will we get technologies to be able to enable autonomous driving? Because, for example, we have something called as Volvo On Call and things like that, which enables a lot of services for our customers. Since till recently, we did not have the technology to be able to roll it out in Malaysia, but now we are working with the telecom providers to roll it out. So making technologies available and the background is very crucial to be able to achieve those visions of NAP, which I think it's a complex ecosystem which needs to be worked together along with technology providers, with automotive industry, with the government, with finance providers, everything.
Okay. I'm talking this morning to Nalin Jain, the Managing Director of Volvo Car Malaysia, the Swedish luxury car maker. We'll come back after this, Nalin, and talk about the global scenario, discussions of a potential merger with Geely, as well as the future of the automobile. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Nalin Jain, the Managing Director of Volvo Car Malaysia, the luxury Swedish car maker. Now, when I look into the global hemisphere, Nalin, and of course, Håkan Samuelsson, the global CEO of Volvo Cars, he's mentioned the possibility of moving headquarters away from Gothenburg in Sweden to even some parts of the world for whatever reasons, whether it's pandemic reasons or even the social issues within the country. Would it make sense, I think, conceptually speaking, to consider some kind of at least dual headquarters in Asia, where perhaps potentially a lot of your customers could be, potential customers could be located?
So I think this is a question where I have very limited information, so I cannot give you any official statement based on that. But I can only give you my own personal feeling is that, you know, as the world is becoming global, as you know, technology is expanding and making it easy for organizations to have their people, their technologies, their development centers, their think tanks all over the world. I think it makes sense not to be located only in one center, right? So I think in that sense, one should rethink their strategies, because the way the world is developing and the way the technology is developing, obviously, I think, and especially after this COVID, I think everybody will have to rethink themselves fundamentally. And there's going to be a fundamental disruption. This is once in a lifetime kind of a event for all of us who are alive today. So, and plus the way that technology is able to enable all of us, I think these things, changes will impact us. And I'm sure that that Håkan and the management team in Volvo is considering all these aspects as they take these important decisions for the growth and the development of the organization and the brand.
Yes, I think, well, as you say, quite relevantly as well, the owner of Geely, Li Shufu, has mentioned in the past that there could be a potential merger between Volvo and Geely. And of course, Geely itself owns a small stake in Mercedes-Benz, also owns 49% stake in Proton in Malaysia, and I think control of Lotus, the sports car maker, as well as the electric van taxi company in London, I think Lincoln Co. as well. What is the size of the potential market in ASEAN and Asia, which can be considered, if in fact such a partnership or merger is considered?
So I think that's a very interesting question. And with limited knowledge on this topic, let me try and give my personal perspective on this one. So yes, I think if you look at how the world is developing, Asia is where the growth is happening, right? Asia is where the future is, and every brand recognizes that. So between India and China being the largest countries in the world and largest demand centers in the world. And in terms of growth and base also, customer base, and plus also all these other countries which are developing very, very rapidly. So whether it is Vietnam, whether it is Cambodia, whether it is Philippines, all these markets are developing phenomenally well. Plus we have stable markets like Japan and Australia and Korea and stuff like that. So if I add all of this, I think Asia is a phenomenal region which will provide growth and development to all brands. So keeping that in mind, Volvo is also developing and investing heavily in this region. So in terms of, if you see the way the factories have developed in China or that way we have developed Malaysia as a regional hub for ourselves. So we have invested heavily in Malaysia and we are extremely committed to Malaysia. So we have a factory here from which we are exporting. We have a regional training center here, which is now the hub for training for countries around Malaysia in Asia, except China. We have a technical center here. So we are developing Malaysia because we see that, you know, that potential can be really realized when you have local talent and local development. So I think from that point of view, the way the whole group will develop and the synergies across brands will definitely help. And you see that across other global automotive brands, right? They're able to use a lot of synergies in terms of development, in terms of logistics, in terms of infrastructure. So I think it definitely makes sense to combine certain technologies, combine certain resources. But once again, I think this is my personal feeling and experience based on what I have seen being in automotive industry for almost 15 years. So because automotive industry needs a tremendous amount of investments, and the way the automotive industry is disrupting, there is massive amounts of disruption, which I mentioned earlier, but, you know, it is really changing the way people will own cars. It is really changing the way people will use cars. Like, and when I became 18, I was so curious to get my driving license immediately. But when you talk to youngsters today, they are not keen. They say, we don't want to drive. We want to use shared mobility. So how is Volvo looking at shared mobility? How will it impact us? How will we be able to closely, you know, utilize or, you know, capture that potential, that kind of segment? So there's a lot of questions which strategically every brand needs to answer. And I think Volvo is on the forefront of all these questions strategically when I see all our internal discussions and presentations. And I'm quite positive the way we are developing our flexibility, the way we are developing our brands, I'm sure that, you know, Volvo is on the riding side of the wave of change that we are into today.
I'm talking today to Nalin Jain, the managing director of the Swedish luxury car maker Volvo Cars Malaysia. Now, Nalin, when talk of the merger emerged early this year, late last year, there was mention of a combined annual shipment volume of about 2 million cars for a Geely-Volvo partnership, about on par with BMW's volumes. But in terms of valuations and in terms of a standalone entity, Tesla out of the US is worth today more than Toyota Motor Corp's, even with just 400,000 sales of Tesla cars around the world, much smaller than Toyota's. Nalin, what is your sense of the importance of scale and size in today's car industry versus, for example, what Tesla is doing in terms of their standalone approach to the whole autonomous driving scene?
It's a very interesting question, and I keep talking to my fellows from my MIT class, and we have a passion enthusiast about Tesla in that group. And he keeps, like, you know, raving a lot about Tesla, and we keep challenging him. But I think it's a very, very interesting development that's happening in the automotive industry. And we see that, you know, what's happening on the Tesla front is, again, I think it's a disruptor. And very clearly people see that disruptors will change the way the whole industry operates. And that's probably the reason why investors love Tesla. That's again my personal take on Tesla. And I think it's definitely making a lot of auto manufacturers think. It's definitely making a lot of automotive industry and companies challenge their own structure, challenge their own way of doing business. So scale, why is scale important? Because I think at some point in time, Tesla will definitely, so this is all the valuations that you see for Tesla is based on all future promises, right? And it's not based on what they're able to do today. So if I look at I was looking at their annual reports recently, and it's not based on what they are in terms of their performance today, but it's a future performance. So it is definitely, the model of Tesla is definitely challenging all the other players, whether it is it's Volvo, whether it's Volkswagen, whether it's Toyota, it's all challenging everyone. And everybody is now announcing that, yes, they are going to invest heavily into electrification. They're going to invest heavily into autonomous driving. And I think now one brand which is going to challenge this very positively is Volvo. We have, again, made very early announcements and very early investments in these directions, and we have actually taken concrete steps in that direction. So whether it is autonomous driving, whether it is electrification, we are, you know, in Malaysia, we sell so many PHEVs, right? We are very, very strong in PHEVs. So I think this is going to be important, and scale is important, because ultimately, how do you optimize your development costs in all these technologies in the future? You know, you cannot ignore that fact. It needs, automotive industry is extremely capital intensive and extremely R&D intensive. So all of these combined, scale is very, very crucial. And I'm sure, like I said, you know, these announcements that our group is making are keeping all these factors in mind, and the steps that we have already taken. So how do we further leverage on the steps of electrification? How do we further leverage on autonomous driving, and then come up with the kind of growth and development that Volvo as a brand and as a group can do?
Yeah, and Nalin, very quickly as well, because we're running out of time, but obviously autonomous technology hasn't quite reached the maturity. Tesla continues to be dogged by quality problems and even problems with this autonomous driving technology, and even with yourselves and your LiDAR systems technology as well. You know, how much longer should we wait till such autonomous vehicles are on par in terms of reliability and in terms of being meeting quality standards that everybody's gotten used to with existing combustion engine technology?
So I think it's a very good question, and I would like to answer that in a way that, see, it's one is technology aspect. Yes, I think technology is an extremely important aspect of autonomous driving. But I think it's not just the technology in the car, but it is a lot of other technologies that will support autonomous driving. It is going to be the laws, it is going to be penetration. So it's a lot of other factors which will make autonomous driving successful. And let's say your infrastructure, right? If your roads, if your lanes are not well marked, if you have exits that are not very clearly marked. So the way, obviously you expect the technology to learn everything, but you know, technology always has limitations. How the whole thing will evolve in terms of your country, right? Also in terms of discipline, because you may not have, let's say, 100% autonomous driving cars at certain point in time. So how do the other drivers on the road behave, right? If they're going to still cut lanes randomly and aggressively, then whatever kind of learning and whatever kind of programming is there is going to end up failing at some point in the time or the other. So my take is that this will evolve over the next 4 to 5 years. It will not happen overnight. It needs a lot of learning, and it needs a lot of, let's say, even laws to change, right? Let's say, for example, an autonomous car bangs into a car which is self-driven. And then which insurance company is responsible? Is it the brand? Is it the insurance? Is it the driver? So there's a lot of unanswered questions in the autonomous space, not just the technology aspect, because technology can develop very quickly. But how do we then resolve all the other aspects around the autonomous driving is still going to be a challenge which will need to be addressed. And I think it's not going to happen overnight.
Okay. Well, Nalin, thank you for your thoughts. And, you know, good luck with the sales roadmap for the rest of 2020. I was talking to Nalin Jain, the managing director of the luxury Swedish car maker Volvo Car Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.